Welcome to the West Virginia Soccer Association Beyond the Pitch podcast here on the West Virginia Soccer Association digital network. My name is Marcus Cole, Director of Soccer Operations and Branding. Now, before we begin today's podcast, I want to remind you that once you've had a chance to check out our show, make sure you give our podcast a 5-star rating and make sure you follow us wherever you listen to your podcast, whether it's Spotify, TuneIn, iTunes, Google Podcasts, wherever. That helps you stay up to date on all the latest content from us, and it helps us get the word out to others and let them know that we're providing valuable information for soccer players, coaches, referees, and parents. On the phone with us today is Wendy Earlbeck, making her second appearance. Wendy is a sports nutritionist, registered dietitian, and owner of NutritionWithWendy.com, and that is Wendy with an I. So, Wendy with an I, welcome back to the program.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that introduction. It's great to be here. It's a wonderful sunny day. I'm excited to talk about a really exciting topic as we approach the holidays here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Now, when this podcast airs, it will be the day before Thanksgiving, and all through the house, we are, you know, it's an opportunity for us to be thankful for the many blessings that have been bestowed upon us over the year. It's an opportunity for us to be thankful for spending time with our families for yet another year, and thankful for, food on our table. However, there's a lot of food sometimes, Wendy, and some of it is not all that great for us, and that's kind of going to be the subject that we're going to be talking about with athletes and eating during the holidays. Now, what would you say would be the ultimate goal in mind that young athletes should be having when it comes to nutrition over the holiday period?
Well, to be honest, the ultimate goal when it's an adolescent athlete is just enjoying the holidays with family. You know, it's truly a time to take a break, and athletes need a break. They need to have times of, you know, rest, relaxation, restoration. You know, those deload times are truly when you make the most amount of gains, right? Because you need to have that rest. So I would say, you know, looking at it from a nutritional standpoint is to have fun and embrace the time with friends and family, but also keep your performance and goals, long-term goals, at the top of your mind, and that you will have training that you will have to take care of after the holidays. So my biggest objective, and I've been asked this question a lot in the last week, I can't even count how many times I've been asked for, you know, just what are some tips and strategies? And I just go back to, we have to just keep our portions in control, and then thinking about, again, our post-holiday performance and what that's going to look like.
Now, you've done a recent article talking exactly on this subject, and like you said, you've been getting asked this question a ton lately, no matter where you go. And I think it's an important point that, you know, a couple of things here and there is not going to disrupt everything that you've been working for over, you know, the last many months when, you know, training with your sport and whatever it is. And I think sometimes we lose sight of that sometimes, oh man, I was not good today. I did this and I did this. Just because you have a bad day or a bad hour or a bad meal doesn't ruin the entire thing for you.
Absolutely. I'm glad that you touched on that. I always want to tell people, hey, it doesn't matter who you are, if you're an elite athlete, a young athlete, a competitive, a non-competitive, we're all human and we are not perfect. No one is perfect, myself included. And we just need to remind ourselves that, you know, the holidays are just a few days out of 365. It's truly, you know, looking at it from a percentage standpoint of, it's 1% of a whole year, right? So if I eat outside of how I normally would for a few days, that's okay. So I always tell everybody, again, it doesn't matter who you are or what you're training for. Tomorrow is a new day. And to keep in mind that it's okay to eat outside of your normal plan. It's not okay to do it every day consistently and then to feel guilty. We just need to move forward and, you know, have the cookie and then move on with your life. I know that it's easier said than done for a lot of people, but I really just wish that we could you know, get back to the holidays don't have to be about this big ordeal of eating outside of our plan. I wish that we could approach Thanksgiving and Christmas and all the holidays as I'm going to eat how I normally would, in addition to a few extra special treats that, you know, maybe your aunt or a relative makes this really special pie. It's so important that you have that piece of pie and not feel guilty about it, because it's a special thing that you don't have each and every day. And that's how I think people can detach away from having that guilt, is that I only get to have this piece of pie roughly 2 times per year, right? That's really not that much in the long shot.
Now, one thing that you've mentioned in your article, and I'm guilty of doing this, and I don't know why I don't do it anymore, but I used to think this way. Some people starve themselves all day before Thanksgiving. They won't eat breakfast. They won't, you know, maybe dinner's later in the afternoon, 4 o'clock. So they don't, you know, they'll have dinner the night before, but then they won't eat anything until the big meal, or as my son calls it, the big feast. why is that not good?
Yeah. You know, I'm never going to label good or bad. I'm going to just, it's not optimal, Marcus, because some people, they do that, that works well. But for the majority of people, that results in overeating and the guilt. So what I would recommend is to have a breakfast, get some movement in right away in the morning, you know, eat how you normally would. Honestly, on Thanksgiving, I tell people, or any other holiday, eat how you normally would, reach for the high quality proteins, reach for the fruits and vegetables, but do not skip meals before you go have the Thanksgiving meal with your family. That will not result in success. And I'll tell you why exactly. It's because you're all of a sudden, you miss breakfast, right? We had that plan of, I'm just going to limit everything to that big feast. You essentially are so hungry that you are sitting down and you find yourself going back for seconds and thirds. And by the time that you're done, you have tripled your caloric intake for the day. And then you have the feelings of guilt. You feel lethargic. You feel tired. You feel drowsy. And it just makes it that much more challenging versus if you would have started out, you know, your day having a reasonable breakfast, maybe a snack, and then going to lunch, and then having quality time with your family, not feeling overly hungry. And then you won't find yourself eating too much. You won't find yourself constantly snacking. You'll still maintain your routine. That's one of the biggest things I should have said right away in the podcast here, is that it's all about that routine and making sure you're still following your normal routine. And I think that everybody should focus on that, athlete or not. We need to maintain that routine to prevent overeating and to prevent the guilt and that vicious cycle that can often take place.
Now, obviously, you know, we you know, grandma will bring over her peanut butter fudge, and, you know, mom will make her famous French silk chocolate pie and things along that lines. And what can we, are there any tips that you would give to, other than just the, you know, one slice of pie, you know, a couple of, you know, small pieces of fudge? What, I mean, is there something that we can do to not eat as much, I mean, of that kind of stuff that we can do? I mean, whether it's, you know, I've heard talking about having water beforehand to give you a little bit more of a full feeling, that type of thing. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's a great question. You can approach that in many different ways. I guess if I'm working with my people, I'm going to tell them that, you know what, let's be honest about it. The holidays, that just simply means different foods. You're going to have grandma, you're going to have the food pushers. It's going to be delicious food. And of course, you don't want to be rude. You don't want to tell them no. But it's also important to keep in mind that athletes specifically are going to be surrounded by people that are not athletes. So they don't necessarily understand the training. They don't understand the goals. So it's okay to tell them no if you don't really want something. But if you do want to have something, give yourself permission. Set a reasonable limit with that. So if it's a piece of fudge, have the fudge. But also keep in mind that there's going to be a magnitude of other foods that could be tempting, but you need to kind of have a plan in mind, set a goal. You can have those things. You can try all of them, just not at the same time. And what I mean by that is, so if you're going, many of us these days are going to multiple Thanksgivings or multiple Christmases. So if you know that there's a certain piece of fudge, there's a type of cookie, there's a type of cake, a type of pie, why not have a limit or a goal that I'm going to have pie at this relative's house, I'm going to have the cookies there, and then I'm going to have the fudge here. So you can still have all those foods, just not at the same time. And that's going to help you feel good about your choices. And it's going to encourage you to still make healthy choices because you're not overindulging and you're still eating those high quality proteins, getting in your fruits and vegetables. I really think it's important to set reasonable limits and to have a plan going into the day, not to stress. But again, we still have to approach it in a positive sense of I'm going to enjoy time with my friends and family today, and I'm going to indulge in different foods. But I have limits and, you know, I'm going to keep things in perspective because I have performance goals that take place outside of these 2 days out of 365, right?
Right. Now, what advice would you give to young athletes that, some of them may do this, some of them may not do this. They're maybe a little bit concerned about doing it, but in visiting, multiple locations over the holidays and having various things, What can they do to maybe help the situation a little bit more of making sure that there's the availability of healthier foods and making sure that there's vegetables available at, grandma's dinner and things along that lines? How would you approach that situation?
Yeah. So what's exciting about adolescent athletes is, and just we know this in general with youth, is that if children participate in the food preparation, they're more likely to consume the item. So what could be great is for parents that are listening to this, encourage your kids, go out to the store and prepare some fruit dishes, get a bunch of fresh fruit, cut it up, put it in a bowl. That's a great option to snack on in place of the M&Ms and all the nut mixes that are available. Same thing with the pies. I mean, most tables these days, dessert tables are set up with all the snack foods, but you can bring some eat this instead of that type of thing. And you can have your children, your adolescent athletes prepare that with you. And they're more likely to consume that healthy dish in place of the treat. So another couple of examples, cheese sticks. You can make cheese and fruit veggie kebabs. Those are really fun. They're really yummy. They're a lot more nutrient dense than, cookies and crackers and all these other items that can just be high calorie and low in nutrition versus the kebabs, with the cheese stick, a tomato, maybe even a strawberry, a green pepper. Those things can actually be really yummy together, or yogurt dips in place of some of the heavy creams. Dipping your fruits into the yogurt dips are really yummy. And again, it's going to provide calcium and vitamin D and a lot more nutrition.
One thing I try to stress to my children, who are one's a collegiate athlete and one's going to be a collegiate athlete next year, is that during this time, you are the activity rate is a lot less than what you're normal. I mean, my son, who's a college swimmer, doesn't have training during this time, during this fall break from college. So less activity, I think we kind of have to look. I tell him to kind of make sure your food choices fit the activity level, where, before he was burning through a ton of calories through a training session, now not so much. So we got to kind of alter our eating pattern just a little bit. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's really great advice that you obviously you're very involved with your children's activity and their health. That's top-notch advice. It's mindful to keep, in perspective that we are not as active. We're going to need less calories. We're going to need less carbohydrates. And one thing I always revert back to is the fact that we have those performance plates by the Collegiate Professional Sports Dietetics Association. And those are things that I educate and promote all presentations and counseling onto athletes, because that plate really is designed to support the physical activity, the intensity, the training duration, all of those things. So for example, right now during the holidays, I'll give you soccer. Most of the athletes are done. They're at home. They're not being active right now, especially with the holiday. They're taking some time away from training. What I would say is go get the ball, go play with your family, go, get in a jog in the morning, get a little bit of physical activity in so you're not sitting around feeling tired and just kind of snacking. And keep in mind too, that you don't need that large of protein or even carbohydrate portion on your plate anymore that you would during the season. So while you have your deload week, which most do this week, most of my athletes do anyway, where they are not training. In fact, their coach told them, take a rest. Okay, so that's important. There's other ways to rest other than being on the soccer field, playing a little bit of, I don't know what activities you can do indoors there, but here we have, you know, tennis, you can swim, just doing some light recovery, just getting in some movement so you're not sitting around the house, because most athletes and most people, when they're not doing anything and they're not training, they're going to sit around and they're going to feel tired. And naturally, when people are tired and bored or not doing anything, they're going to snack.
Oh, so, yes.
Yes. So that avoids the snacking. Yeah. I don't want to tell people, you know, different than what their coach would say, but it is important to still be active, and you can do active recovery in many different ways, but it's just really important to ensure that you're not eating the same amount of protein and carbohydrates and fats that you were before. So making smaller portions, and keeping in mind during the holidays that you probably don't need the extra scooping of potatoes. Why not have more green? You know, if you look down on your plate and you see that it's completely brown with mashed potatoes and gravy, make sure that you reduce some of those portions and have more fruits and vegetables. You need more color on your plate, especially in times of lower activity. You just don't simply need all those carbohydrates.
My weakness is mashed potatoes. I love mashed potatoes. I love especially homemade mashed potatoes, and that have butter in them, and it's just good stuff. And
what I
find myself trying to do now is that I doing exactly what you said, and making your plate non-brown, and putting a little bit of mashed potatoes on there, putting a little bit of this, putting a little bit of that, and filling up your plate that way. And then once I eat all that, then let me see how I feel after that. I think that's kind of underrated, that, you know, we try to pile it on there all on the first setting, and then we kind of feel maybe a little bit guilty that we're not eating all the food on our plate.
Yeah. I think that's a really good point, you know, especially coming from a lot of families that I've worked with too, older adults, they come from families where you cleaned your entire plate because food was scarce growing up, right? And it's not good to waste food. And I agree with that as a dietitian. So that's why it's important to have a game plan while you're constructing your plate as you go through the serving line or dishing it up. Keep in mind your portions, assess your hunger. It's better to have less on your plate than too much, right? So you can always go back and get more. The food isn't going to go anywhere. So maybe start with smaller portions. And while you're eating, set your fork down in between, wipe your face, talk to people. Again, the holidays are about celebration and, you know, building those relationships. So if you're more focused on the conversation that you're having with your family and friends and asking about them, not only are you going to feel more satisfaction by making them feel better, but you'll also feel more satisfied too, right? Because you will be feeling hunger. It'll diminish a lot more conducive, I guess, than if you were just quickly eating and not setting your fork down in between. You're going to have those satiety responses a lot more efficiently than you would if you just ate things very quickly.
I agree. Yeah, I mean, taking time to enjoy the moments and enjoy spending it with your family for, you know, another year, because, you know, we don't know if that's going to be the case, you know, 360 days from now. You know, things happen in life and some of them aren't good. And I think that just can not only good for nutrition and for your health, but also I think good for the soul too as well. And put your phone down.
Absolutely. Ooh, thank you. You just sparked something else that I want to talk about that, you know, is very, very basic, but very undervalued. Yes. Put your phone away. Don't have it out. But mindful eating. So for those that have not, I feel as though most have, but if you haven't tried mindful eating, the holidays are a phenomenal time to do so, right? Because we have all these highly palatable foods that are very tasty. So you could exercise your mindfulness with the foods that you typically don't get to consume. So mindful eating, and there's no wrong way to do it, but essentially taking about 5 minutes to finish a food. So if you have a favorite cookie or a piece of pie, take a bite of that pie and allow it to sit in your mouth, like on your tongue, taste it, smell it, feel all the senses for about 30 to 60 seconds, and then swallow it. And you'll quickly learn how delicious and delightful that food really is versus if you just quickly eat it. You also, by being mindful, you're aware of your hunger. You're aware of how does the food make me feel? You know, does it heighten my sensitivity to certain things? You know, am I feeling more energized? Am I feeling more tired? Just all the emotions. It's kind of checking in with yourself, but it's a really useful habit to do, not only with food, but also exercise and stress. But check in with yourself these holidays. You know, what are the foods that you're eating? How are they making you feel? It's really important to prioritize, you know, good nutrition, but also it's okay to have those snacks. And I just want people to be really mindful of their choices this year. I don't want people to feel guilty. You know, don't feel that shame. Even athletes, parents, enjoy the holidays, but also exercise your ability to be mindful of the foods you're putting in your body and how they make you feel so that you can make a more informed decision moving forward that supports your goals in the future that you want to create.
I'm not quite sure if you have this information available to you. I'm sure you do because you're a very smart woman. What is the time frame, I guess? You know, you get into your Thanksgiving meal and you're hungry. You're looking forward to all the things that, you know, you don't normally get to have on a daily basis. What is the time frame for sitting down and eating, having that food, and then having your body actually register in your to tell your mind that you're full? And I think that kind of has to go with the fact of enjoying your meal, not woofing it down in 10 minutes type thing, so that you have that idea, I'm still kind of hungry, you know, I'm going to go back for seconds or go back for thirds. Whereas, I mean, I know there's some sort of research or something. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have that research right in front of me. And again, I never like to say things unless I've read them. I do recall, I mean, we actually did a lot of the mindful eating, and we did talk about this in one of my food psychology courses, actually. And this was a few years ago, but I recall that, I mean, with the digestion process, there's a lot of factors that it can depend on, but typically hunger can subside after about 30 to 150 minutes, I believe, after a meal. So it takes, I mean, about 30 minutes for you to typically acknowledge that you have food in your stomach. There's messages that are sent to your brain to acknowledge, okay, I'm full. I no longer need to eat anything else. Like, I'm satisfied. And most people won't understand that because they typically eat really, really quickly. So most people don't wait 30 minutes after a meal to really assess, am I really hungry? They just go eat more food. So I think this year, maybe I could, you know, I could look this up and I could send it and you could share it, just with what the specific, you know, parameters are on that. But I challenge people, you know, give it 20 to 30 minutes after you've had your full first plate, right?
Right.
Your full meal, and then see if you're truly hungry. Because if you've eaten well and you've balanced your plate with good protein, you know, right? Again, we want it to be colorful with fruits and vegetables, maybe a little less starches. But just, yeah, the balanced plate, and then give yourself about 20 to 30 minutes and assess, am I still really hungry? Do you still have those hunger pains or those contractions, or are you full? Most people will probably say they're full because we, again, are going to build our plate probably more than we usually would. But I think that's a really interesting concept, and I feel it warrants more research and more conversation moving forward.
Because I fall into that trap all the time where I'll eat and then I'll be like, I'm not full. I want more, but then I go have more. And then later I regret it. And it's such a miserable feeling, especially to have during the holidays when you've got everybody over and all I do is just want to go lay down. I just want to go lay down.
Right. Well, try it this year, honestly, because again, like I tell people, the food's not going anywhere, and drink water. Like I challenge people, you know, after you definitely have a glass of water before and definitely have a glass of water after, there's going to be an abundance of food. The food's not going anywhere. So you are not going to starve to death if you wait 30 minutes after having your meal, your one plate, because again, then the desserts come out and all the treats. And I think it's just really important that maybe this year we take a different approach to that. Then you don't have to feel that guilt and that shame, Marcus. I know that you're not alone. I've been there. My grandma is no longer with us today, but she was one of the most phenomenal cooks. And I could not say no to her cheesecake, to her cookies. And I would always feel so guilty about it just because I would feel very unhappy about how full I was, right? So it's just really important that, you know, we can change habits, you know, we can make those small efforts to change the way that we approach holidays. So this year, knowing how you historically have felt, and I know this is out to everybody, if we felt very full in the past, like we have to unbutton our pants, maybe we should reassess that and have a game plan going in. Okay, so in the past, I've made my plate so large and it's always a competition of who can eat the most. This year, I'm going to consume 50% less on my plate. And then in 30 minutes after upon finishing that, I'll assess, do I really need more? You know, do I want seconds? Because I guarantee your aunt, your uncle, your cousin, relative is more than happy to pull the leftovers out of the fridge and heat them up for you. So the food's not going anywhere. So I think it would be fun and I think it would be wise and helpful for many if we took a different approach this year to the holidays and focus more on the relationships, as well as, you know, being mindful of our portions. Same thing with youth athletes. I have a lot of athletes that have come to me too after Christmas, wrestlers too, that have struggled. You know, they're depriving themselves too with their weight management goals, and then they have their week off for Christmas break, and it's just a struggle bus. So I think that it's just really important for all of us to have a plan going into it and keeping in mind water and hydration. I know that was something else here too that you definitely wanted to talk about.
Yeah, somebody brought it to my attention, or I saw something on Twitter, somebody talking about it, of hydration during the winter months. And I mean, they brought up some really good points of the fact that we've got the heat on in the house. Things are a lot drier when we're outside, you know, not necessarily because it's cold, you don't see us sweating as much. So the whole visual cues that we see of plus also too, you really don't want to drink cold water mm-hmm. on a cold day. I mean, what are some hydration tips? Because obviously we need to stay hydrated. We need to, I mean, so many young athletes are dehydrated of some degree, from very dehydrated to a little bit, but talk to us a little bit about staying hydrated during the winter months.
Yeah, first and foremost, I always like to, you know, illustrate that why, and you know, why is that even important to me? Because most people, they know, I mean, people are aware of it, but it's not a scare tactic. But in the cold weather, I believe that our body's thirst response is diminished by up to about 35 to 40%, even when you're dehydrated. So your ability to be thirsty in the winter, like I'm telling people that are listening to this, you're not going to feel thirsty and you could be very, very dehydrated. And that's due to your blood vessels being constricted, you know, and not allowing that blood flow to your extremities because you're so cold, especially when you're outside. So even if you've got the heat cranked inside, it doesn't really matter. We just don't have that thirst mechanism. So it's really important to still maintain the same hydration that you would throughout any of the other months. So just some strategies, you know, making sure you have that water bottle by you, keeping in mind that when you wake, you are dehydrated and you need to consume about 8 to 15 ounces right away. So that's why I always tell my adolescent athletes, get a water bottle by your bed that is filled and ready to go. So when you wake up, you just drink that and you sip on it as you're getting ready in the morning. And we still need to maintain that consistent fluid intake, you know, of at least 20 ounces every couple of hours throughout the day. Again, because by the time you're dehydrated, it's just too late. You have a headache, you're tired, you're not drinking enough. And that's typically something that is really challenging to overcome. So just maintain that schedule and getting back to the basics and the consistency of in the fall, you know, when it was hot outside or even in the summer, you were drinking out of a water bottle, you're going to be doing the same thing. Nothing should change. You still need to maintain those basic fundamental hydration strategies.
Wendy, well, we're going to wrap things up here, but I appreciate you coming on our podcast today and talking about nutrition and hydration here before the holidays. Now, if somebody wants to find out more about you, and I'll let our listeners know that Wendy is a fountain of information and quality information through her social media platforms. How can they find you? Where can they find you?
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Bless your heart. I'm available. You can email me directly if you guys have questions, wendy@nutritionwendy.com. And I also have my Twitter, Wendy Earlbeck, and then my Instagram is Nutrition with Wendy, and my website is available as well. I just recently posted a blog on protein intake as well. So looking to connect with anyone who is interested in learning more about nutrition and how I can support you. Thank you so much for having me today, Marcus. I hope you all have a wonderful Thanksgiving and happy holiday season.
Thank you very much, and I wish you the same as well. Thank you for listening to the West Virginia Soccer Association Beyond the Pitch podcast here on the West Virginia Soccer Association Digital Network. Now that you've heard our show, make sure you give our podcast a 5-star rating and follow us wherever you listen to your podcast. We'll be back on Thursday of next week with another episode. We hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving weekend. Take care.